Hey, it's the Internet Today. Hey, my name is Brendan Bigley, and you are listening to the Internet Today, the show where I find all the best stuff on the Internet so you don't have to. Quick thing that should be the best thing that I've seen on the Internet, and I probably should have talked about way in advance, but I didn't, is Summer Games Done Quick. If you have been listening to me on Anchor for a long time, then you probably heard me talk about Summer Games Done Quick last year. Maybe you heard me talk about Awesome Games Done Quick. What was that, earlier this year? End of last year? Somewhere in that vicinity? Essentially, it is a bunch of people from around the world getting together in one spot. I think it's in Vermont or Virginia, somewhere like that. And they stream on Twitch.tv, them trying to beat games as quickly as possible for multiple days. It starts on Sunday. I think it also ends on Sunday, or started this past Sunday, also ends this coming Sunday. And all the while, they're raising money for charity, and they're giving shout outs to the people who are donating, and they're giving away prizes and all this crazy stuff. But essentially, what you get to see are these people deconstructing video games by playing them as quickly as possible. So, like, the original Super Mario Brothers beating it in, like, 3 minutes because of like some weird glitch in the way the game was coded, where if you jump a certain way on this specific pixel, you'll skip three levels, like weird garbage like that. It's really, really cool and interesting to watch. Occasionally they'll do races where you'll have four people who all speedrun the game, speedrunning against each other to see who can win. It's a really fun event. It's for a really good cause. It happens twice a year. They consistently raise millions of dollars for cancer research. Although, actually, I think, so they do it twice a year. Like I said, the winter one, I think, is for cancer research. I think the summer one goes to Doctors Without Borders. But like I said, consistently close to $1 million or more than $1 million every single time they do one of these events. It's a really cool thing. I highly recommend checking it out. It's twitch.tv/gamesdonequick. Twitch.tv/gamesdonequick. It's like my favorite thing. I just leave it on in the background while I'm doing anything else. All right, onward. I feel obligated to talk about this because I think it's one of the strangest cases of a smartphone manufacturer fucking up and not admitting it that I've seen in a long time. It reminds me a lot of the iPhone 4. What was that called? It was called AntennaGate, where Steve Jobs said that people were holding the phone wrong because if you put your hands on a certain part of the antenna, it would basically prevent any cell signal from leaving the iPhone 4. They obviously went back and fixed that with firmware updates and hardware updates down the line, but the words, "you're holding it wrong," kind of became like a joke from that point on. So why am I bringing up the iPhone 4? OnePlus, a company that I've admired for a long time, actually, they've been making really, really high-end flagship phones for cheaper than normal prices. It's a Chinese company, I think owned by the same company that makes Oppo phones. They just released the OnePlus 5 recently, which is a really nice phone, all things considered. Looks a lot like kind of a blend of HTC's design sensibilities and Apple's design sensibilities running Android, which, you know, sounds pretty good to me. But there's this problem that users have been reporting with the screen where when you're scrolling around or really doing anything on the phone, there's like a strange jelly effect. The act of taking an app and moving it around on the phone kind of looks like, and imagine this, like from The Office, putting a stapler in some jello and like shaking the jello around. That's kind of what it looks like when you're trying to do things on the phone. People have been trying to figure out what's wrong with this. OnePlus wouldn't say that there was a problem. They wouldn't acknowledge that this was a problem, but it was widely reported. A lot of people were filming it. And what happened, I guess like a week ago at this point, was that someone got footage of this effect happening, this jelly effect, and slowed it down and found that the phone was refreshing the display. So when you're looking at a display, the display is refreshing constantly, which is where all the, like, I don't know, if you're moving your cursor around, for example, that's your display refreshing thousands and thousands and thousands of times to show the movement of the cursor. The display, instead of refreshing from top to bottom like most normal phones, was actually refreshing from bottom to top, which led people to assume something and then rip their phone open to confirm this. But essentially what happened was the OnePlus 5 has had all of the screens installed upside down, which doesn't sound real, but apparently is. Every single OnePlus 5 display was put in the wrong way, just in the manufacturing process. Maybe like the robot that had to fasten the screen down was backwards, I don't know. But this all leads me to a tweet they sent out today and have since deleted. But someone tweeted at them and said, "At OnePlus, will you guys try and solve this jelly issue or just turn your back on it?" And they responded, "The screen's so-called jelly effect is caused by the user's eye's persistence of vision, visually staying phenomenon or duration of vision," which you could really interpret as you're looking at it wrong. I remember reading this story on The Verge about a month ago, talking about how people are using drones to smuggle drugs into prisons. Basically flying drones overhead and then dropping contraband into the prisons, which could net the person flying the drone up to $6,000 per drop. The reason I'm bringing it up today is because I saw a story about it that made it incredibly real. This guy in a South Carolina maximum security prison was able to escape using wire cutters that he had delivered by drone. Now, before I even get into how he did this, you should know if you're listening in South Carolina, the guy has already been recaptured and he's back in prison. So, there's not like a max security prisoner running around that you should be afraid of. So don't worry about that. So how did this guy get out? Well, it all started with him smuggling in a cell phone that he used to coordinate a drop zone and a drop time for some wire cutters, which he was going to use to cut through all of the fences in the prison. He used the wire cutters to cut through four different fences and had a dummy in his bed, which he used to fool the guards into thinking that he was still there. It was a very Ferris Bueller plan. So he got out and he had an 18-hour head start, eventually getting captured again in a motel. But this idea of drones dropping contraband into prisons, it's not the simplest problem to solve, really. Most of the guards in prisons are obviously focused on the prisoners themselves, not looking towards the sky, hoping to spot small machines dropping bags of whatever drug, or in this case, a means of escape. It's just like such a weird intersection between the oldest story known to man of trying to escape from prison and the newest, weirdest thing, which is drones. I doubt this is the last time we'll hear of something like this happening. I think that this is going to become a more common practice until someone figures out the best way to prevent drones from dropping stuff into prisons. Like, okay, I'm trying to end this segment, but at the same time, it's such a crazy thing that every time I say it, it sounds wild. It sounds just as wild as the first time I heard it. All right, I'm leaving now. Anyway, my name is Brendan Bigley. This is the Internet Today. Let's keep going. One of the more interesting games that's come out over the past couple of years definitely was Super Mario Maker, just because it was coming from Nintendo, who were notoriously strict about people using their characters in strange ways. And B, what spawned out of Mario Maker? Just the speedrunning community, the level creation community, the weird, like, goofs that arose on the internet. Mario Maker's just a really fascinating thing. I never really got into it personally, but I enjoy watching people play it, especially at a really high level. One of the best things about Mario Maker, one of my favorite things, because you see some crazy, crazy levels made in Mario Maker that look like they could never, ever be beaten by anyone. One of the best things about Mario Maker is a stipulation that you are not allowed to upload a level that you made to the internet unless you can beat it. Which is a really simple way of just ensuring that a level is beatable before you can upload it. Makes a lot of sense, really. Because you'd rather not go into the created levels browser and find a bunch of, you know, garbage that just can never beat. So anyway, this guy who goes by Chain Chomp Brayden has been trying to beat this one level called the Trials of Death for 1,500 hours, still has not done it. But the catch is that it's his level. He is the creator of Trials of Death. The reason that he's been trying to beat it for 1,500 hours so far is because he really wants to be able to upload it to the course browser. He built it in such a way that it can be beaten. He knows that for a fact. So for what equates to 60 days, he has been trying to clear it that first time so other people can get a crack at it. This is a story that's been developing for a long time. He's hyped up the release of this level, saying, oh, I'm getting close to beating it. Don't worry, it's gonna be out soon. And like releasing trailers for the level, and it looks absolutely batshit. It looks totally absurd. I really enjoy watching the trailers that he made for this, because they're totally tongue-in-cheek too. He's aware of how crazy it is that he's trying to do this. But at the end of the day, I can't help but feel like when he finally does clear it, I mean, it's gonna be a great day for him, but that also means that he'll be able to upload it to the internet. And when you give everyone on the internet a shot at something that is quote-unquote unbeatable, you know what's gonna happen. Someone's gonna beat it in like 30 minutes, and it's gonna be a real kick in the gut for this guy. But yeah, love Mario Maker, or love watching Mario Maker. Shout out to Chain Chomp Brayden. Good luck, man. Hey, so it just occurred to me that I forgot to record an outro for this this podcast episode. So here I am sitting in the Anchor office. It's 7:05 p.m. Very excited to go home. Sitting here with Maya. Say hi, Maya.
Hi, Maya.
Oh, you did the fucking joke. You did the one shitty goof that I was hoping you wouldn't do. Anyway, you know the drill. Hey, favorite this station. Press that clap button.
If you're listening to a podcast, give me a review. Tell all your friends about it. Find me on Twitter at Brendan Bigley. Find Maya on Twitter at Maya Fish, and tell her about the bad joke she made. Maybe harass her about that. Don't do that. Don't harass people. No, that's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. I just broke our own terms of service. Not good. Don't do any of the stuff I just said, except for that first stuff, which is all good. All right. This is a hot mess. See ya. Love you.